Okay, show of hands. Anyone here want to be more like Jesus? Yeah, so how's that going? Isn't that something we have? I mean, I'm looking at the folks here in the room with me, and I know you've all been at this a few years, so how's it going? You're Christ-like by now, right? Well, you know, it seems like we get stuck sometimes, don't we? There's some advances in parts of our lives where we actually grow in Christ, but then we get stuck in certain places, and actually we go backwards at points. And we're in good company, though, because the same was true for the Apostle Paul. He grew in Christ, but he also recognized that there were parts of his life where he'd gotten stuck. And he wanted us to know, as he wanted the early Christians in Colossae to know, that the Lord understands what we're like, and he's not given up on us, and he wants us to grow in Christ-likeness because he wants to use us in the world. And all of that is coming through for us here as we continue in Colossians and come to chapter 3. We'll be reading the first 17 verses of that chapter. And let's pray together before we do. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's not ethereal, far removed from where we are, but it brings heavenly reality to bear in very practical ways in our lives. Give us ears to hear that today. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're reading in Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living that life. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have this funny little drama that repeats sometimes in our marriage. Sarah sees me wearing an old shirt with holes in it and stains on it, like the t-shirts that I wear to the gym. And she says, "Honey, that thing is getting so ratty. Look at the holes. Don't you think it's time to throw it away?" And she's right. I mean, I've got another 3 t-shirts in the drawer that don't have holes in them, but you know how it is. You get a shirt or some slippers or some such, and you just keep wearing them. They're comfortable. They're familiar. And change requires thinking, and I've got other things to think about. So this can go on a pretty long time, and at some point, Sarah decides that she's got to take action. And so, unbeknownst to me, my treasured shirt finds its way into the trash. Or, sometimes, y'all are going to find this hard to believe, but sometimes she'll come up and she'll stick her finger in one of the holes and rip it wide open. There goes my favorite gym shirt. My goodness. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion that this conversation that she and I have is not unique to our house. In fact, I'm guessing that it's not even unique to our generation. That even in the ancient world, this kind of conversation happened. Don't wear that toga, it's got a stain down the side. Clothes were out in the ancient world too. It was a daily kind of reality for the people. And so Paul took that daily image and used it to do some teaching here, saying you can put off the old because you've got something new to wear and it's really fine. And this image had a deeper root than old and nude wardrobes, because early on in the life of the church, there were various places where they adopted the practice of being baptized naked. Now, that's a little bit hard for us to imagine, but in lots of times and places, nudity is not quite the big deal that it is to us. I mean, we'd have a really hard time doing that without being distracted. But however it was that worked for them, the symbolism of that was very strong. They came to the water's edge, and they took off the old clothes of the old life. And they walked into the water and were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then as they walked out of the water, they were wrapped in a fresh, new, white robe. Wonderful symbol. They left behind the ripped and stained old way of life, and they stepped into this new and pure life that is the gift through Jesus Christ. And baptism was the sign and seal of that change in their lives. Now that's the image that Paul's using here, and it's a powerful one. The new life that we've been given in Jesus is a perpetual fresh start. Ever since you believed in Jesus, every day you get up, you have a fresh start. Absolute fresh start. That's the gift. But like any gift, it has to be received and acted upon. And because we've got old ways of doing life, those have to be shed if we're going to put on fully the new ways of life that the Lord has given us here. Now, here's how Paul got to this place in his letter. He's been coming all along to this point. First two chapters, he spends describing what God has done for us in Jesus and what the new life in Jesus looks like. And then he summarizes that, really, in the first four verses of what we read. Christ has been raised, and you've been raised with Him. So focus on Him. Focus on that new life, even though it won't be fully revealed until He comes again. And then he continues on in verses 5 through 9 and starts describing just how ratty the old life is. And then he goes on in verses 12 to 15, says those right next to the description of how ratty the old life is, he puts the description how beautiful the new life is right next to that for the contrast. And the contrast between the old and the new is kind of like those conversations that we have in our houses where the wife says to the husband, "I can't believe you're still wearing that ratty old shirt when you have a perfectly good new shirt to wear." So let's look a little more closely at this, and we'll begin with the details of that ratty old shirt way of living. Not pretty, as Paul describes it. He says, "Why would you settle for wearing this? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, and anger, and malice, and slander, and lies. You got to strip off that old self because now you have better options." Now here's the deal. There was a day when my old ratty gym shirt wasn't old and ratty. It was new. And it looked fine. And when you're living for yourself and you don't know the Lord, then things like sexual immorality and greed and anger and lies can look pretty good. And they seem to work okay, at least for a while. And you really don't know what else to wear and you don't notice how quickly tattered that once shiny garment you had starts looking. But so it does. But when you get a whole new set of clothes fashioned after Jesus himself, then the contrast between the two lets you see just how pitiful the old clothes were. And Paul is focused on contrasting these two. And so he goes on in verses 12 to 15. He describes in delightful detail the fashion makeover you get when you're born anew in Jesus. Listen to this again. He says your heart becomes compassionate. Kindness begins to rise. Humility and meekness and patience. You start forbearing with each other. You start forgiving each other in love, which makes for wonderful harmony that reaches even across groups that have always been divided, like Greeks and Jews and barbarians, and even slaves and free. There's peace in your hearts and gratitude. Paul's just kind of bubbling over in his excitement about this makeover we get in life. And that's what he puts next to his description of the old life and how ratty it is. Now that's the image. But what do we do about that? I mean, how do we take some concrete steps to shed the old and put on the new? How do we welcome this makeover that's available to us in Jesus? And here's what Paul and the early Christians discovered. That there were regular practices that they could adopt that allowed them to be reclothed in the new life. The reclothing is God's work. The spiritual disciplines are how we show up for Him to do that work in us. But that's because none of us can make ourselves kind or patient or loving just by simple choice or even by act of the will. But we can choose to show up for what God can do in us through these spiritual disciplines. You can choose to do these things. Show up for worship and study the Scripture. Engage in simple service. Pray. Take time apart in bigger segments to be with God and have some silence. Give. And there's a longer list of spiritual disciplines than that, but all of these classic practices of the Christian life are ways where you show up and say to God, okay, do in me what I can't do for myself. Put my new outfit on me. I'm ready for a makeover. And God does it. It actually works from the inside out. Here we're talking about putting something on from that's on the outside, but actually it works from the inside out. He changes us. He makes us new. Just a week and a half now till Lent, Ash Wednesday, week and a half. And in the tradition of the church, this is a time when people stop and think about, okay, what sort of spiritual disciplines might I take up during these weeks of Lent that present me for God's reclothing work in my life? And it may be even a time when you're thinking more broadly than just the 7 weeks of Lent. You're thinking about, okay, Lord, what would you have me do in the balance of 2021 that enables me to get rid of the ratty old clothes and to be clothed in the fresh things that you would give me? And here's something else concrete that we can do. We can share our stories with each other. And, you know, it's great to have the stories in the Scripture, like Paul's stories. I mean, we have a fair amount of his life story in the book of Acts, and we pick up other pieces of it in the letters he wrote. But that was way back then, in a very different place. And it helps us to know how it works in 2021, right here in Richmond. And so, we're gifts to each other in that regard. Because all of us are in the process of taking off the old and putting on the new. And we need to be able to compare notes with each other how that works. I was in a Zoom meeting this week with Wally and half a dozen guys, a life group that's meeting by Zoom these days. And And while he shared very openly about some old garments he's taken off, some old ways of living, and then the other guys on the call shared too. And it was just very helpful to hear. I think all of us were helped to know that we're not alone in this, and to hear some of the positive steps that the guys are realizing as they yield themselves to what God would do in their lives. Now, right now we're having that happen by Zoom groups and by little bitty groups that gather, hopefully with masks and some distancing, and with all the inconvenience of that, even so, we get to share our lives. And on normal time, we get together for meals, and we have prayer partners. And it's these kind of conversations that can happen in small circles that enable us to hear each other's stories. We need these stories. We need to tell them. We need to hear them. Because it helps us then to be presented to the Lord for what He would do in our lives. This actually happens in worship. Though you can't have the back and forth give and take with a large group of people that you can with a small group of people, we like to have testimonies in worship. Because it's a way for us to show up in the place where people have come apart to Jesus and say, let me hear in the presence of Jesus, tell you what He did. And tell you how He helped me get rid of the old ratties and step into that which is new. It's very powerful. And if you have a story to tell, I hope you'll tell it. And be about listening to each other's stories. It's one of the ways that God sets us up for this makeover work He wants to do in us. Now, those are some practical things you can do to foster this kind of new life makeover. But let me offer you one other help today. Not something for you to do, but more like a motivator. I trust you know this is Super Bowl Sunday. I bet you do. Even those of you who aren't interested can't avoid the fact. And one of the human interest stories this year is that one of the quarterbacks is Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is 43 years old. Now that sounds pretty young to me and to a lot of us who are gathered today. But I tell you, that is a sure enough geezer for the NFL. A 43-year-old quarterback, are you kidding me? His counterpart, Patrick Mahomes, playing for the Chiefs, is 25. And that's more typical. So how's Brady beating the odds of his age to continue playing at this level all these years? He has this amazing training regimen. He gets up at 5:30 every morning, and the first thing he does is he has a berry and banana smoothie. Then he meets his trainer, who's also some kind of massage guru, and he massages deep muscles and then puts him through his workout. He doesn't lift weights. He uses resistance bands. They look like big rubber bands. Says it helps his flexibility. And then there are practices. And during the season, hours of practice. And in the evenings and on the days off, he's watching video of the guys that he's playing against the next week so that he has it in his head every move that they're likely to make. And he's been doing this for over 20 years. Now, this has been so effective that others have been asking him, how you do this? And people are imitating Brady's training regimen. Now, that's how he does it. But here's another question. Why would he do it? He's won 6 Super Bowls. He is a multi-millionaire. Plus, this afternoon, there are a bunch of 300-pound gorillas that want to crush him. Why would he not retire from the NFL like every other quarterback his age? I don't know the full story. But a big part of it is that Brady wants to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And for him, that's mission enough. That's purpose enough to motivate him to keep getting up at 5:30 and eating special diet and doing all those exercises and doing it again the next day and the next week and the next month. For years he has done this. He's so motivated that he keeps working this plan and giving it his all. Now that's his motivator. Here's your motivator. Jesus has saved you. And He has sent you into a whole world of people who are living in tatters. And they don't even know there's something better. You have a mission. You know, most of them are never going to pick up a Bible to read it. At least not initially. And even if they do, they need some living examples. What does it look like to follow Jesus in 2021? They need to see some Christians decked out in the full garb of Christian living. Now, there are all kinds of good personal reasons for us to do this. I mean, life just works really well when you live in the way of Jesus. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of abundance. But it's not just about us living in the way that brings us most joy. It's also about the fact that we've been given a mission, and there's a whole world of people who are in a hurting place, who are living in tatters, who need someone to draw alongside who's garbed in a different way. That's your mission. And so if Brady's up for the kind of regimen he's taken up for the occasion of the Super Bowl, don't you think that maybe we could be up for the kind of mission we've been given as the followers of Jesus in this world? That we would be all about putting off the old and putting on the new so that we can bring glory to Jesus and welcome the people in tatters to what God has for them, which is new life. That's a mission that'll take you all the way through life, past 43. All the way. It's big enough to live for, big enough to die for. Praise be to God. We get to be a part of that. Let's make sure we're dressed for the occasion. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks that You choose with great grace. Because if You were drafting us according to skill, like football players get drafted, we would be way down the list. But You purposely picked each one of us. And You've been dressing us, preparing us. And You've sent us out. We want to rise to that occasion, and we want to live in ways each day that enable us to rise to that occasion. Send Your Holy Spirit, refresh us, empower us. You're very good. We're honored to be a part of what You're doing. We pray in Your name, Jesus. Amen.